I was Cleopatra. I was young and an actress when you knelt by my mattress and asked for my hand. But I was sad, you asked it, as I laid in a black dress with my father in a casket. I had no plans. Yeah. And I left the footprints, the mud stained on the carpet, and it hurted like my heart did when you left town. But I must admit it, that I would marry you in an instant. Damn your wife, I'd be your mistress just to have you around. But I was late for this, late for that, late for the love of my life. And when I die alone, when I die alone, die, I'll be on time. And while the church discouraged any lust that burned within me, yes, my flesh, it was my currency, but I held true. I drive the taxi and the traffic distracts me from the strangers in my backseat that remind me of you. But I was late for this, late for that, late for the love of my life. And when I die alone, when I die alone, when I die, I'll be on time. The only gifts from my Lord were birth and death, divorce. But I've read this script and the costume fits, so I play my part. I was Cleopatra. I was taller than the rafters, but that's all in the past, love gone with the wind. And now I know shoes leads me back to my guest room. It's a bed and a bathroom and a place for the end. I won't be late for this, late for that, late for the love of my life. And when I die alone, when I die alone, die, I'll be on time.
Hello, hello. Welcome to KHDX 93.1. You're listening to Alphabet Snack Region. I'm Trey Shack Daddy Dyer.
And I'm Big Hoona.
Big Hoona Henry Dana
is now gonna, I'm gonna tell on you. He's now sneaking out of the studio because he's made, you know, prior
Trey, am I sneaking out right now?
Okay, I'll just wait till you're gone.
No, I'm still standing here. I'm
gonna stand there.
I'm gonna be here the whole time. Don't listen to Trey.
Yeah, if anyone asks, Henry's sitting there. I'll turn your mic. Just kidding. I'm not gonna turn your mic off because you're sitting right there. Okay, he's gone. We can speak freely. I'm lone rangering it today. Henry's leaving me. I don't know if he's coming back. I'm really scared, actually. I don't know what I'll do without him. He's my roommate, but he's also, sorry, Delaney, he's my partner in crime. We're like, I'm a lone ranger today, but we're usually rangers out on the Wild West, and he's got my back and I've got his, and today he's leaving me. But it's all right, because we've got a fantastic show, and I'm only saying that to brighten my own spirits. Maybe it'll transform, evolve into some kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, but that's the plan. Today, I was thinking, I'm going this weekend, I'm going to Petit Jean State Park, camping with some friends for a couple of days. a much needed, even though we just came back from spring break. I wasn't spring breaking with my friends, spring breaking with the family. So it's a much needed break with friends. I'm going to eat some good food. I bought some s'more stuff yesterday, so I'm ready. Pretty much ready. That's all we're eating for 2 days, just s'mores. It's a great, great diet. You should really get on it. I know we talked about food a couple of weeks ago and how you should watch what you eat and whatnot. Just kidding. That was all a lie. It was a farce. S'mores, 24/7. But along with this idea of Petit Jean State Park, I wanted to talk about, and I know we've talked about nature before on the show, and man, could you talk about, this could be a show entirely devoted to nature, but I can't do that because Henry won't let me. Heck, if it was up to me, I'd be doing poetry every week. Or some kind of writing, you know, English type stuff, since I am the English major. I'm a newbie to the major. I can't even say that. But anyway, we've done this nature oriented show before, but this one's gonna have more of a spin to it. We just listened to Cleopatra by Lumineers, and I don't know, maybe some of you guessed, some of you are pretty intuitive, but this show is going to be focused on history, or history-based things, or the mentions of history. And Cleopatra by Lumineers, you really should watch the music video on the YouTubes. It pictures this older woman who's driving a taxi, and she sees all sorts of people come in and out, and sad and happy and the lonely, and or in, you know, the exuberant, and the, you know, I think there's a newly wedded couple in there, but it's this older woman. She's watching these people go in and out of her taxi, and she's looking back on her own life and the loves. It came then, this whole idea came from an encounter the vocalist Wesley Schultz had with a taxi driver in the Republic of Georgia. She related to him a tale of personal tragedy without a trace of self-pity. And he said, as an American, a lot of what we do is tell the world how great our life is. And people create stories about themselves through like social media, which are completely disconnected from what we personally know about their lives. And he says, I felt cleansed to be around someone who's just telling me how it actually was for them. And I love the message, but I really included this because it was named Cleopatra. And I don't know if anybody knows the history behind Cleopatra, who was the last queen of Egypt. But after the death of Cleopatra's father, she was forced to marry her younger brother. And that was according to, you know, the traditions of pharaohs. And in the opening verse, it says here that Schultz imagines how Cleopatra felt about having to wed her close family member. And so this song is the title track of the Lumineers' second album. The album's called Cleopatra. So I just thought that was a good way to open up this historical, you know, historically oriented show. But the back to Petit Jean, I'm reading a book right now, or actually have read a book for a class, and it's called Nature's New Deal. And of course it has to do with FDR's New Deal, enormous social programs and economic programs to get the country out of the Great Depression. And one part of this New Deal, and in fact, probably the most important and the most popular part of the New Deal, was the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. And what this program did was hire young men from the age of about, I think it's 18 to 25. I could be off about 5 years there. It might be 18 to 30, but it's young men and men only. Women weren't allowed to join. And this is part of this kind of effort to keep the women at home. You know, they're in the Great Depression, and it's the woman's place in the home. Which, come on now. But keep in mind, it's the 30s and the 40s, and you know, this effort again to keep some kind of sense of normality or normalcy in American life. And so these young men exclusively would join the CCC. And at any given time, there were about 300,000 enrollees in the program. And what this did was took people from cities. You know, there were massive unemployment. In some areas of the country, it was 80% unemployment. But generally, it was 1 in 4 people were unemployed. And so it took a bunch of unemployed young men from the city and moved them to rural areas, rural America. And 300,000 at any time. And over the course of its existence, which was from 1933 to 1942, it enrolled 3 million young men. And that's right there, when I read that, I just thought, holy cow, that's astounding. Just to get 3 million young men to go through this program. And not only did it give them jobs, not only did it give them employment, something to do, it gave them an education. They would take night classes where they would learn about trees, about forestry, about all sorts of skills. And also, they were paid a small wage of $30, but they... part of the program, it was required for them to give 25 of that $30 back to their families back home. And so they would keep $5 and send $25 back to their families. And that's part of this effort to lift everybody up out of the Great Depression. And so it's the implementation of this program, I think, is astounding, because taking these guys from the cities to rural areas really made it. You know, in this class that I'm in is poverty and welfare in the U.S. And we talk a lot about the politically acceptability of this program. And what made it politically acceptable was that it affected everyone, and it took people from, you know, we've always talked about this divide between rural and urban areas, you know, cities and the country. And what it did was it joined these people, and we had one helping the other and the other helping one. And it was this relationship that worked at the time. And so taking these young men from the cities to go out to the country to work and help farmers, because what they did out there was they improved farming techniques. They were experimenting with certain techniques of cropping and harvesting, and they would work along rivers where really farming practices were pretty harmful. It would lead to enormous amounts of erosion. There was one valley that I can't remember the name of at the time, but there they were losing an enormous amount of soil along this river. And really, the driving factor behind the CCC was not only an employment, but the conservation of land and the resources that land provided. And so they were arguing that this program is needed not only so that we can get people to work and get people money, but so that we can harness the resources that we have and improve on them. And so through this massive 7, 8, 9 year program, there were all sorts of improvements to techniques in farming and forestry. And FDR really Because at one point he had, he owned land that he would sell timber off of. And so he was super interested in getting the maximum economic benefit out of a piece of land. And that's, again, the driving factor behind the CCC. This program is good, but there are also some vices, and one is, like many of the New Deal policies, its racial component was downright poor. It was despicable because many African Americans and people of color were left out of social programs that were benefiting the country, and that's almost, you know, it goes for CCC as well. They had segregated camps. They had a few segregated camps, and so it was young white men doing this. And while it was beneficial, really the ultimate the demise, and it's really where I disagree with it. I'm all for conservation, but because the and this is where Trey is interjecting his opinions, I'm gonna brainwash the radio listeners. I'm sorry. Cover your ears if you don't want to hear it. Where I disagree with this is FDR's and many like-minded government officials, you know, like him, were interested in this maximum economic benefit from this land or that land, and it wasn't so we can necessarily preserve environment for the intrinsic value of that environment. It was always the economic value that this environment could provide us, and at a certain point that doesn't work, and because you're not doing it for the right reasons. And so when those reasons that you're doing it for are no longer beneficial to you, you stop. And so, and this argument, this, you know, the civil war within the CCC, you had certain officials who were less interested in the economic value and became more interested in the actual conservation of the environment for the environment and not ourselves. And so towards the end of the life of the CCC, you really start to see this divide in the camps. You really start to see this divide, and it really tears the program apart, and eventually leads to, you know, the lack of funding. Eventually, in 1942, Congress just doesn't fund the CCC anymore. And, you know, we were asked the question in this class, like, is a program like this, and there, keep in mind, there's nowhere near the unemployment that we had in the 30s and that we, you know, today. The conditions just aren't the same. You can't really compare it. But what we do have problems with is infrastructure. And that was a big part of the CCC. Not only did they act to conserve certain environments for economic gain, but they improved infrastructure dramatically. And I think that's something we'll talk about after this next song. Let's see. I think we're gonna be playing some Vampire Weekend, a song called Hudson.
Hudson died in Hudson Bay. The water took its victim's name. Now rivers rise toward Riverside to change their names again. Stranger walked in through the door, said all apartments are pre-war. We laughed and asked him for his name. He stayed until the end. We watched the Germans play the Greeks. He mocked the 99-year lease off Father's son, which I declined to try and comprehend. Again, all these never-ending visions. Over and over again, like a prize that's changing hands. The time has come, the clock is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag. Legendary wooden gate that first established real estate. It's lost to time like other crimes, though on this pleasant land. Over and over again, all these never-ending visions. Over and over again, like a prize that's changing hands. The time has come, the clock is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag. But I was born on Sutton Place. The rising tide helped me decide to change my name again. Some intend to linger on, and some make haste from Babylon. Some will roam their ruined home, rejoicing to the end. Over and over again, all these never-ending visions. Over and over again, like a prize to changing hands. The time has come, the clock is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag. The lines are drawn, the map is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag.
And welcome back to Alphabet Snack Region on KHDX 93.1. You're here with just me. I really hope you guys enjoy the sound of my voice. Sometimes I get tired of it, but it's just me. You're going to have to deal with it. Okay, we just listened to Vampire Weekend's Hudson from their Modern Vampires in the City, I believe, is that album. And that song, obviously, I'm sure you know, is about Henry Hudson's death. And Henry Hudson, for those who don't know, was a mariner. He was an experienced one. Not super experienced. They say he's experienced, but I'm pretty sure he recorded his first voyage in 1607. And he died in 1611, they think, because... Interesting story, tragic story, but interesting. On his final voyage, obviously, from England in 1610, he was looking for a passage to the northwest, and he found a large body of water that he thought was the Pacific Ocean, but it was not, and it turned out to just be what is now Hudson Bay. And but in June in 1611, the ship was blocked in ice in James Bay, and the crew wanted to go back, but Henry is like, no, we're strong, healthy dudes. Let's go. Let's keep on going. But unfortunately for him, they did not think so, and they mutinied. And they put Hudson, his son, and five other crew members in a small boat and left them there, and they got the heck out of Dodge. And no one knows what happened to them, so it's just kind of assumed that they died there in Hudson Bay. Tragic little story, but I'm a sucker for tragic stories. Actually, I'm a sucker for history. Thought about coming on here and saying, yeah, guys, today's theme is history because I'm a history buff. But I feel like a history buff, that phrase kind of insinuates that I'm all-knowing about the history. And that is certainly not what I would, you know, want to put forward. I am simply someone who loves it. I love history a lot. I think it's interesting. I can't always recall what I've learned. Hence my history class grades, which I think are all A's. Thank you very much. But nonetheless, certain tests, they don't go the way I'd like. But I love it anyway. But where were we? We're talking about the Civilian Conservation Corps, if you're just joining us, which I don't know who is just joining us. The only ones that tune in are the ones that see my posts on all the social medias. And I'm like, hey, watch it or listen to us. 5 minutes. Let's go. Come on. Chop, chop. Anybody else just, you know, happens to pass through the radio waves and they're like, they're not listening to this guy. See ya. But we're talking about the Civilian Conservation Corps, big New Deal program by FDR in the 30s and the early 40s. And what got me here was I'm camping at Pettigean with some friends over the weekend, and Pettigean was part of this Conservation Corps program. And not only did they, you know, we've been talking about the techniques of farming and forestry that they improved and that they learned about and that they took with them throughout their life, but they also, you know, along with the 3 billion trees that they planted in the U.S., they constructed trails, lodges. They helped create facilities, and you know, practically created 800 parks nationwide, and upgraded a lot of state parks. The updated forest firefighting methods and the built-in network of service buildings and public roadways in remote areas. They also operated separate. We talked about how it was segregated and that there were several segregated camps. They also operated separate programs for veterans and Native Americans. About 15,000 Native Americans actually participated in the program. So they kind of helped them weather the Great Depression. Don't totally look down on the CCC. Again, remember, it's the 30s or the 40s. Bless our hearts, America. But it did help many people out of poverty, or at least help them from not, you know, basically starving. But in Arkansas, and that's, we have come full circle, alphabet snack region style, because in Arkansas, a lot of the CCC projects were in national forests or on state-owned property, and the state park system was benefited greatly. And in Arkansas, you know, they created roads, they created trails and lodges and cabins, campgrounds, even amphitheaters, bathhouses, pavilions, and beaches at six locations in different regions of the state. And one of those, Arkansas's first state park was Pettigean, and that was one of the ones that they worked on, and they worked on Mount Nebo, Crowley's Ridge, Devil's Den, Lake Catherine, and Buffalo Point. I'm sure all of you are loving it, because I hope my listeners are active people. But you've been there and visited, and you can thank, next time you're in a state park, you can thank the CCC, because Arkansas veterans actually occupied Arkansas's first state park, which I said was Petit Jean. Arkansas Veterans Company 1781V occupied that. And the CCC built lodges overlooking Cedar Creek Canyon. And they were named in honor of the National Park System Director, Stephen T. Mather. Natural stone and log cabins were built along with hiking trails and bridges, and these structures remain the focal point of Petit Jean State Park. And so you can go up there and see all sorts of, you can go, heck, you could go around the country and see all sorts of the things that the CCC did. And it's really, again, mind-boggling the amount of construction that the CCC undertook. You know, these projects were enormous, and given 300,000 people at any one time, I guess, you know, you can do it. But yeah, I just wanted to take this show to really showcase the CCC and all it did. And I'm going to benefit from all that work this weekend. And I suggest you guys do too. We got some awesome state parks around Arkansas. The beautiful, the natural state that it is. And we only hope that the Republican legislators don't ruin it for us. Yep, I went there. Again, Trey's brainwashing. Watch your kids, everyone. Because I mean, there are threats to Arkansas's environment, and one of those threats happens to be, I believe they're calling it the Diamond Pipeline. That's going to go through Arkansas. And projects like that, you've obviously seen the backlash against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. That was not my attempt at a North Dakotan accent. I don't know what that was. It just came out. When I say North Dakota, I just want to say it like that. Pardon me. But you've obviously seen the backlash there. And something like that going through Arkansas, I don't, at least for me, I really would appreciate it if we did not do that. So for all the Arkansas Republican legislators listening to Alphabet Snack Region, which I know there are many, we have great listeners from the Arkansas GOP. And that was my poor attempt at a Donald Trump impression. Again, forgive me. How many times am I going to say I'm sorry on this show? I'm so sorry. I got to really work on my impressions around here. Psych, it's Alphabet Snack Region. We don't work on anything. Again, you're listening to 93.1 KHDX. Let me get another song going. I was really working hard on getting you guys some great music. One, this song, I'm going to talk about it briefly before I put it on. It's called Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. And it's a song that actually, blessing your ears, you can thank that for, you can thank my father for that one. He played it for me and my siblings when we were younger, pretty much every other song that we played, but it's okay because we loved it. It's an interesting sounding song. It's kind of got a folksy vibe to it. And it's pretty repetitive, actually, now that I think about it, but what song isn't? Hello, music industry. But I really like this song, and I'll give you a little more backstory after we play it. So this is Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned, concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind in the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait, when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." At 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. All that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up for dead when the gales of November come early.
And you're listening to KHDX 93.1 Alphabet Snack Region. Trey Shack Daddy Dyer here. That was Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. And so that song, a lot of lyrics. My apologies. It's a 6.5 minute song, but I love it to death. I don't know if I love it just because it's such a long song that tells such a story. But I really enjoy it. And Edmund Fitzgerald was an actual freighter up in the Great Lakes. And I don't know if you listen to the lyrics very, very, very intently, but it talks about this story. And it was an American Great Lakes freighter that sank in Lake Superior in a storm in 1975. And the whole crew died, about 29 people. I'm pretty sure they said that in the song. And she was the largest ship in the Great Lakes, and she remains the largest to have sunk there. And it's a pretty interesting history. For 17 years, the Fitzgerald carried cargo from iron ore mines near Duluth, Minnesota, to iron works in Detroit and Toledo and other ports in the Great Lakes. And it's kind of, I didn't know this, and it's not mentioned in the song, but maybe it's kind of insinuated, or the captain of the ship in the song is kind of, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it's a very personable character, it seemed to me, in the song. And the story of the captain of the Fitzgerald, he had a nickname of DJ Captain, and that's because he played a lot of music on the ship from, you know, sun up to sundown, and actually overnight, I guess, he played music on the ship's intercom while passing through the St. Clair and Detroit rivers between lakes Huron and Erie. And he would entertain people, and they made the record several times, probably, you know, several times beating their own record for, you know, how long it took to get their cargo from one place to another. I guess people are keeping records of those and breaking them. But the Edmund Fitzgerald, the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, great song by Gordon Lightfoot. And it's 7:45, man, so it's towards the end of the show. Wow, time flies when you're just having fun. You and me, just you and me. You hear that? We're getting intimate here. Now, it's hashtag this day in history. I just don't have the energy without Henry. I can't do some jingle. Just takes it out of me. Henry needs to be here. Henry's smile just keeps me going when I make up some really dumb jingle. But this day in history, let's get to it. And I think this day in history is a special one because, well, the show's about history. And so here we go. 1848. For the first time in recorded history, Niagara Falls stopped flowing. An ice jam in the Niagara River above the rim of the falls caused the water to stop. 1867, we've actually talked about this. The North America Act was passed by the British Parliament, creating the Dominion of Canada. It kind of brought together different provinces and gave a lot of powers to Canada itself until about the 80s when... again, we've talked about this, I think, in the 80s when Canada, or they passed the, I think it was called the Canada Act or the Canada Constitution Act or something, when, you know, cut ties completely from Britain. Let's see, 1951, the Rosenbergs were found guilty of passing atomic secrets to the Russians, those Ruskies, and they were sentenced to death. Oh, man, that makes me think... We could have a great show on the death, capital punishment, you know, kind of pertinent to Arkansas politics at the moment. You know, in April, I don't remember the exact date. Maybe it's early April, I think, when Arkansas is executing, what is it, like 8 people in 10 days. Yeah, we're just trying to punch those out, I guess. Good grief. Don't get me started, people. Okay, one more, and then we're going to play a last song to take us home. 1973, oh, the years, the last U.S. troops left South Vietnam. And that, I guess that is shortly before the actual fall of Saigon. You know, you see those pictures of that helicopter at the top of, I believe it's the embassy in South Vietnam, which later, you know, the city later became Ho Chi Minh City. You know, oh gosh, Vietnam. We could have a show in Vietnam itself as well. I think we've actually talked about the 60s. That was our first show, the 60s. Oh, you guys remember that? Let's reminisce. That was my, you know, dream transition. Guys, I'm working on my sound effects. I really am. all right, let's get some. I was about to go to the. You guys are about to let me go to another of this day in history. You can't let me do that. We're gonna go home with Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire," another classic that I just love because it tells such history. I mean, it talks about all sorts of events, ones that we've already talked about here. But let's hear it before we run out of time. It's Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire." Listening to Alphabet Snack Region on KSDX 93.1. I'm Trey Shack Daddy Dyer. I hope you've enjoyed this solo ride of mine. I guess we'll see you next week. Don't know what the topic will be, but take it easy, everybody. Good night, good luck, and be kind.